It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi there, Mary.
Hey, in our little patch of the world, we've been combating those LDD moth eggs and chasing chipmunks, but we're also noticing these kind of weird spots on our zucchini plant leaves. And I'm wondering if it's due to the wet weather.
Yeah, you're probably seeing a lot of foliar diseases and also a lot of rot diseases happening on everything from squash to phlox. You might see the leaves on your zucchinis. I have a zucchini, actually has some odd growth coming up from the base of it, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. And if something is really bad, you probably want to cut it and just kind of take it out of the area so it doesn't spread to others. But all of that is because of that really heavy rain that we've had and a lot of wet weather. Now we're getting even cooler weather too. So all that adds a lot to rot in the soil and wilt of vines too. If you see winter squash vines, for example, or melon vines just kind of wilting in the middle of the day, that's probably due to not having enough oxygen in the soil. The best thing to do under those circumstances is really just to work around the soil a little bit to dry it out, and hopefully your plant can kind of outgrow that problem. What you're also probably seeing a lot of now are blights on tomatoes. These are the early blights, septorial leaf spot, bacterial speck, and these are the little spots on the leaves turning them yellow. The best thing to do for that, and actually something we probably should have done a month ago, is to prune up all your tomato plants up about a foot or two off the ground. Take all the leaves off the bottom. You don't really need those leaves. That will slow down the onset of this disease, especially if you put some grass clippings or hay or mulch underneath on top of the soil. And then, of course, watch the tomato plants themselves. You can try sprays. There's a baking soda spray, which is 1 tablespoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of dish soap or a horticultural oil in a gallon of water. But that's a preventive spray, so you have to spray that on the healthy foliage so it doesn't spread. And then there's some commercial sprays you can use as well. So that's a disease that's happening, and then pretty soon the powdery mildew will come along. Isn't this fun? And you'll see that on lilacs, on birch trees, on phlox, on bee balm, on all kinds of plants. That's something that's just in the environment. If you can clean it up really well in the fall, that will help, but it really depends on the weather. We start getting warm, dry days again, and then those dewy mornings, that's really going to spread that disease.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's tackle some questions. Jean in Chelsea says, Charlie, I've got a huge hosta surrounding a newly planted shoot of my other lilac. When planted, there appeared to be plenty of room. Now the hosta's surrounding the new lilac. Should I pull up that hosta and replant it, or will they coexist?
I would pull it up and replant it. And hosta is one of those plants that you can pretty much replant it almost any time. Now, if you're okay with it staying there, the best time would be in the spring. But yes, pull it up, give it its own little location, give that lilac a little elbow room. It's going to be very happy and grow a lot faster for you.
Virginia in Guilford writes, last summer, deer nearly destroyed 2 new fruit trees I planted. Now they're enclosed in fencing. I think she means the trees and not the deer. How long do I have to keep them fenced in? Also, last summer, a bear climbed into my pear tree and tore off branches and ate most of the pears. How can I protect that tree?
Ooh, that's a big one. Well, the first question about how long you should keep your fencing around, I generally say as long as that tree is low enough for deer to browse on it and really cause damage, then you probably should keep the fencing up. So I have some trees in our orchard that are getting tall enough now that maybe the lower branches might get browsed. They might eat some pear leaves or something like that, but they don't bother the main tree. And so I've taken the fencing out. For the bear, I think bigger fencing might be in order. Try to make it a little harder for them to get up into that seckle pear tree. Other than that, you could try some repellent sprays around the tree as well.
Okay. Erica in Montpelier writes, after reading your no-dig gardening book, I thought I'd take a modified approach by mulching the tomatoes in a well-established, weed-free, wood-framed raised bed with straw. I now have a bumper crop of oats. It's impossible to keep up with. How do you suggest managing it for the rest of the growing season? And how should I handle the straw when the season's ended?
So I'm assuming the oats came from the straw. I'm not sure where you got that, but oats is an annual crop, a great cover crop, by the way, and it naturally dies off in the winter. So that's one thing you can do is if it's not harming the tomatoes, just let it naturally die off. Probably the better thing to do would be just to cut it down to the ground and just drop it there as a mulch so you don't have to turn the soil and it'll all decompose throughout the winter. And the straw that's already there, you'd want to just leave it. You always want to keep your beds covered with some kind of organic material going through the winter. That's one of the tenets of no-dig gardening. So if you do those things, I think you'll be in good shape.
Excellent. And send questions our way. Visit vpr.org and search for All Things Gardening. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.